Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's IRD call on Monday, the 1st of November. We have Rafik Damak, Avery Doria, Robert Hutchinson, Owen Smigelski, Steve Metallitz. From staff, we have Steve Sheng, Dave Piscatella, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. And I don't have any apologies recorded for today. Could I please also just remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes? Thank you. Over to you, Dave and Steve.
Thank you, Gisela. Good morning, everyone, or good evening. This is Steve. I'm actually in Mexico today. So bear with me. The call quality is not good enough. Well, thank you so much for making today's call. I know this is one of the extra calls we have to discuss the draft report. There are three things I thought we could discuss today. The first thing is we could go over the draft report. Thank you all for those wonderful and helpful changes. For the editorial changes, I've included almost all of them. And there are two substantial comments, one from Jeremy and one from Rob. I don't know how to include them yet. I need some guidance from the working group. I'm happy to include them. My only feeling is some of these proposals have not been discussed in great detail in the working group before. So I think one of the goals for today's call is for the working group to give staff some guidance on whether and how to include these proposed languages. So I think that's the primary goal of this call. Do people have other agenda items? Yes? No? No? Okay. Why don't we start with Rob's Robert Hutchinson's proposed language, proposed additions in the interim report for section 4.1, and then we can go through that quickly and then see the same for Jeremy, and then we discuss the report. Do people have a copy of Rob's proposed addition? Yes, no? I send it in the email along with those previous reports.
Yeah, this was the one that begins with the map, right?
Yes, this is the one that begins with the map. Yes, yes, indeed, indeed. Rob, if possible, could you explain a little bit more about your suggestion or your proposed language?
Yes. When I went through the document, I believe that there isn't any description in the document of the language or script sets that are being talked about in the other parts of the document. And I believe that we have some mental consensus anyway of the fact that the internationalized version has to support a full suite of human languages, and I was trying to give definition to what that is within this document, and
okay.
That was the purpose of adding this language. Now, as I mentioned in the text, it's not clear to me whether the work that was done with IRDs or internationalized domain names for the ccTLD work, whether they have adopted a set of language tables and those should be referenced here, or how that's being handled in the other parts of ICANN. And I was hoping the staff could research that, and if these examples are not relevant because there are superseding examples that are already in use at ICANN, IANA, we would reference those.
Okay. What do others think?
Well, this is Steve Metallis. I wonder, what is the answer to Bob's question? Is there something from the IDN work that could be inserted here?
In terms of the scripts?
Yeah. I'm reading this as, you know, making some reference to the kinds of scripts we're talking about. And if that, there already is such a list from the IDN work, just reference that.
I can check with Tina on that. I'm not sure if we have a general list for that. My understanding is the IDN fast-track process uses the UN manual for countries. So maybe that has language encodings associated with this. But I can check on that. Sorry, I was temporarily dropped off the call, so I didn't hear the question. So for these proposed changes, what do people think?
Yes, this is Aubrey. I think adding such a section is really quite a good idea. I think it's probably reasonable to do process and make sure that, you know, they coordinate correctly with whatever other tables might have been put out in the other processes. I'm not sure that I see any necessity to change these. So I would certainly both advocating putting something in like this and making sure that it's consistent with whatever else has gone in elsewhere.
Okay. Would it be possible to put this table in the appendix instead of put it in the, you know, the report and references in the report? Is that possible?
I don't see any reason why we would not put it in the report and put it in an appendix.
No, I mean, the appendix is part of the report. I'm just saying, you know, maybe it's good to for people to reference instead of, you know, to find out, you know, this is a couple pages, that table is right away.
This is Aubrey again. I would support it being in an appendix as much as in line. in line, it does sort of say to everyone, and pardon my voice, that you have to read this to understand the whole report. Having it in the appendix says that, you know, this is an item we discussed and here's more information on it. And sometimes perhaps a linkage to the appendix of having a footnote in the appropriate place in the remark when, you know, people first mention language support to say, for full information on, et cetera, please consult appendix, so that you've got a placeholder in the text, but that the majority of it is an appendix. So that's a sort of in-between hybrid solution.
Okay. That's fine. We can do that. So, Rob, I have a quick question. Is section 4.1 the correct place to put this? Shouldn't this be one of the shouldn't be the fourth model? Is that right? Shouldn't this be the fourth model? I think Section 4.1, just in general, it says what is the capability of the protocol. It does not talk about the data. Where it comes to talk about the data is really those three models. So I would think if we were to include this should be more appropriate in one of the models.
Right. I'm open to wherever people want to put it. I understand why you would want to put it in one of the models, but I believe the language, that kind of global language picture is relevant to all of the models, if you will, okay? In other words, a language encoding is referenced in this document in several places in terms of a lack of the ability to describe the requested language as well as the encoded language of registrant data, okay? And I believe that's a problem for all of the models. And these language tables really are the probably the primary method. Some variant of this is the primary method for addressing that.
Okay.
This is Steve Dallas. Could I get in the queue, please?
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I didn't realize this was even a model until I got to the last three lines here. So how is this different from Model 1, which requires it's a modification of Model 1 because it only requires transliteration of registrant data. By that,
well, there's also
what's meant by that? Is that just the name of the registrant?
Well,
pardon?
When you say transliteration of registrant data into English pronunciation is required, does that just mean the name of the registrant?
Yes. Well, yes, exactly. Just the registrant data, okay? As I say in item two. So this is another area that I find difficulty in understanding the current document, is that the current document doesn't reference language labels, okay, or the field labels, or I don't know what you want to refer to them as, data labels, okay? And
Go ahead.
And I believe when you look at models 1, 2, 3, and 4, it's not clear in those models which data you're talking about in terms of what's getting interpreted, okay? In other words, we've talked as a group about the registrar and registry identification data being in English only, okay? But I believe that what the models are talking about is primarily the registrant data. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
That means the registrant's name and address.
Right.
Okay. I don't understand. Point one says, okay. So point one is about it's really about all the registry. It's about name, address,
yes.
It has to be transliterated. It doesn't have to be translated. That's model.
Yes.
One.
So that's right. I believe for all of them. Okay, except for the fact that model one is English only in its registrant data variation.
Right, so model one is the registrant's name and contact information is in U.S. ASCII. So that's model one. Model two is it can be in any language a registrant provides to the extent registrars accept and then registrars provide a point of contact for translation, translation or transliteration. So, and the third model is registrants, that the registrar provides facilities for transliteration, and then model four is for translation. So those are the four models. So looking at this model, it seems to be like a hybrid. So for example, registry and registrar identification in ICANN approved form only, you know, that's already addressed in the previous section. So so it's already in English. So I think Rob's point one is more of a hybrid. What Rob is saying is, Rob is saying transliteration of registrant data into English is required for U.S. ASCII. Rob, you have who is going to do the transliteration? Is it registrar? Is it registrant?
No, it would be the registrar. It would be the WHOIS system that needs to provide transliteration, literal transliteration, into English pronunciation.
This is Steve Mattau. How would this be different from Model 3?
Yeah, so how is this different from
Model 3? As far as your point one is concerned.
I believe it is Model 3 at this, point one, yes.
Okay, that's fine.
Your point two says that the registrar and registry identification is in U.S. English, which is also the case in Model 3. Okay.
Yeah.
Or is that not correct?
No, well,
I believe that's the case in all of them, yeah?
Yeah, that's in all of them. I think that's specified previously, like, you know, the registrar names. Those are in, I think we already discussed those, and those will be in English.
And then point three is default language for data labels is U.S. English, and that would also be true of Model 3, correct? Because it says domain, contact, organization. I don't think it's U.S. English because it uses an S, but it's English.
Right. So I think one addition that Rob's number three is labels defined by ICANN. I think we've talked about standardizing the label before, but the working group has not discussed about whether to standardize that at all. I mean, some would think it's a good idea. So I think this will be the major addition for Rob's point. All right?
Yes, I guess when I look at also the text that's in currently for Model 3 and Model 4, okay?
Okay.
Also says in Model, I believe it's both Model 3 and Model 4, when you look at that, it says
yes.
Scripts accepted by the registrar, okay? In other words,
yes.
Model 3 and Model 4, according to this document proposal, in one place, say scripts accepted by the registrar, which allows the TLD to determine which scripts they're going to allow registrant data in. And then when you get to the table at the end, Model 3 and Model 4 say any language accepted, translation or transliteration is done. And to me, those are contradictory.
Okay, so why is that contradictory?
Because you're making policy in one place that says that a registrar or the TLD owner can determine what scripts registrant data is being maintained in or allowed in, okay? And then in the table, and I thought in our discussions that we are talking about allowing registrant data in the registrant's language in Model 3 and Model 4. That's the primary difference for them. Okay.
Okay. So I can modify that table summary to match more closely with the description of the model.
I guess I'm saying the other way around. The description of the model should be should remove the requirement that the script be accepted by the registrar. In other words, the registrant should determine what language they want to register their name in.
This is Steve Metallis. Could I ask a question about that?
Sure.
So that would mean that every registrar, every ICANN accredited registrar would have to be able to accept registrations in every script?
Yeah, I guess I'm not. There is a notion that that ICANN could allow registrars to, could allow them to constrain the set of languages they allow registration data in, but registrant data in. I believe that that policy is not something that the Whois data system needs to be part of. If that policy is something that's done elsewhere, you see what I'm saying?
No, not really, because you seem to be suggesting that there would be a requirement that a registrar accept data in all languages, in all scripts, excuse me.
The system should allow any registrar, the Whois system should allow any registrar to accept registrations in all languages. What is the way I would say it, Steve? Because I'm
well. Maybe then all you need to do in Model 3 is to change it to say registrants provide their registration data in any script that can be accepted by the registrar.
And that's what I'm saying is in the description of Model 3.
Is it one script or it might be 50 scripts?
Right. The policy as to whether ICANN allows registrars to self-restrict languages, I think is kind of outside the scope of what we're walking around with.
Okay, so the proposed change for the language. Sorry, I got dropped off again. The proposed language is for Model 3 will be registrants
provide their registration data in any script that can be accepted by the registrar.
In the registration data in any script accepted by the registrar?
Yes. Just changing the word A to the word any, I think.
Okay. All right. Bob, did that satisfy? Is that what you mean?
That's closer, yes.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and make that change. So we have not really discussed about standardizing the label. So do people on the call think it's a good idea to standardize the label? If so, I can put that in a separate section. I think standardizing the label is separate from each of the models. So in any of the models, the label can be standardized. So if people think that's a good idea, I will write that text. All right? Yes, no, maybe?
I support it.
Okay.
Bob Hutchinson.
Steve, Avery, Graphic.
So you'll send out another iteration that includes this. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so I can just you know, instead of putting out a new iteration, I'll just write some languages and send it to the email group. And that would be separate from
question.
The models. Hello?
I have a question. What do you mean
by, go ahead.
What do you mean by standardize it? Do you mean, I'm not sure how you're using the word standardize in this case.
So what I mean is the label, right? That's the left hand of the data. You know, some label would say, you know, address, you know, others would say, you know, street, you know. So there are different ways the label can be presented. And what I think Rob is suggesting is we standardize, or, you know, probably in this case where I can help to standardize how the label for the Whois data is going to be, you know, so that uniformly, you know, all the Whois queries will have the same label standards. That's what I mean.
Okay, yeah. I understand the sort of setting of a required template. I'm not sure that standardized is the right word. Maybe I'm being picky.
Okay.
Maybe I'm being picky, but but to certainly define a, you know, one template for how, as I say, maybe I'm just being picky about the word standardized, because if it's a standard, then where are we going to set the standard? And that's something I think we might want to avoid.
Okay. So instead of saying standard, we say define a template for the labels. To a certain extent, this is to standardize the labels, because right now, you know, different registries and different registrars, they have different labels. So it's more of a harmonized, you know, the various labels. And in this case, with what Rob proposed, is probably, you know, the ICANN working group come up with that. The harmonized version of
the data. Yeah. Sorry, harmonized works too. It's just standard. The only issue I'm having is perhaps a pedant issue with standards means there's some standardization body that's arguing about it and defining a standard.
Yeah, harmonizing.
Right, and so that's why I was having a problem with the word. I have absolutely no problem with the activity.
Okay. See? What are your thoughts?
On whether the data labels should be the same, whether you call that harmonized or standardized, I agree with that.
Okay. Rafik?
Okay.
So you support that? Or yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Any others on the call? Other than staff. Okay, so we will take Rob's suggestion and put it into a separate section. You know, we can turn it, harmonize the label, define a template for the labels, find the correct language. Rob, is that okay with you?
I think that's a big step forward, so great.
Okay, so what we're going to do regarding your suggestion is we will not take you, put your models in because those are essentially model 3, but we will modify model 3 to say, you know, registration data in any script accepted by the registrar. And then we'll put your we'll create a separate section to standardize, to, you know, harmonize the labels, something like that. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay.
The other thing that I would like to point out about this table is I ripped this table from a website that actually is involved in localization of training materials. It is not a probably public domain table. And if we are going to use a table, we need to find one that is that we have probably permission to use or at least cite this. So, I pulled this together quickly as an example, and was hopeful that there would be tables that have already been created by the IDN working group.
Okay, I'll check with Tina and Kim on that. Kim Davis,
right.
If I am using a table or the IDN working group is using a table, then I'm happy to put that in the appendix. And if they don't use a table, then you probably won't be able to include a table because then we don't have a table. So let's move on to, if people okay, I would like to move on to Jeremy's proposed languages. So let me just quickly read out. Jeremy's proposed language is in a separate document, I send. And Jeremy essentially proposed a couple of things. One thing is also the preliminary recommendation from who is clients to registration data query protocol. I think the reason for that is, when people talk about who is, they usually compute the data and the underlying protocol. So instead of saying the clients, you just say the registration data query protocol. And second, under the finding section.
Excuse me, can I ask a question? This is Steve Metallitz.
Go ahead.
You may not be able to answer this, and maybe only Jeremy can answer this. He says, do we want to alter the preliminary IRDWG recommendations? As I look at this document, there's nothing under recommendations.
There is none.
So when he says alter, what is he talking about?
Right. So here's what I'm thinking. The working group has working through a staff document that summarizes all the discussions, and much of that staff document has been rewritten to turn into this interim report, right? So maybe in that staff document, some part of it will have preliminary recommendations, from who is.
But there's not one in the document we have in front of us does not have any preliminary recommendations, right?
Let me see. So in Section 4, right, the document does have some preliminary recommendations. So, for example, in each of the sections, like 4.1, we have the IRD working group recommends that the following requirements for who is service. But those, I think, is what Jeremy is referring to. But it's in a different place.
Okay, all right. So I see. So he's referring to...
like... The discussion.
Point one. Okay. Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay. So a second of Jeremy's point is under the finding section, which currently there's nothing there, Jeremy wants to put something about the deficiency of the WHOIS protocol, which I think this is already have some sort of that in the document. But what Jeremy is proposing here is IETF has done work on a system called CRISP to increase the flexibility and scope to build a protocol that allows one to find and access information associated with internet labels. So he's referring to the CRISP and IRIS working group. And then he proposed some findings. There has been no demonstrated deficiencies with web-based query tools such as HTTP-based protocol support language and script encodings. And he suggests recommendation that I can phase out the requirements for the RFC 3912 pool system. This will leave the web-based query protocol. And then another recommendation that I can direct a working group to choose a replacement for both the WHOIS and web-based query tool to be a single point of access for the main label name. This working group examines privacy concerns, accessibility to data concerns, and registry impacts. So those are the languages that Jeremy proposes. What do people think? I'm reading out his recommendations because he's not on the call. So.
Well, let me. This is Steve Metalis. Let me ask a question about the next to the last one.
Go ahead.
Would phasing out the requirement for the RFC 3912 WHOIS system mean there would no longer be any requirement for WHOIS access via port 43?
That, I mean, for the phase of that recommendation, yes. But I think Jeremy was saying that to have a single point of access. So, so like maybe just to access WHOIS via the web, I think that's what he's saying.
Well, I'm not entirely sure I understand, because the next to the last recommendation said there would be a web-based query tool. And then the final recommendation says they would work toward a replacement for the web-based query tool.
Well, so, for example, there are two options, right? The one option, I think, you know, that's immediately on the table is the IRIS protocol that, you know, kind of IETF went through as a potential replacement for WHOIS. The other protocol, or the last service that's being offered, it's called the RESTful Web WHOIS service. So that allows access to WHOIS service via the web. Like,
Steve, are you still with us?
I think we may have lost Steve.
Steve just dropped off, sorry.
I'll wait for him to return.
Steve's back now.
Oh, apologies. I keep getting dropped. Another service that has been widely discussed is called a RESTful Web WHOIS service. Basically, providing WHOIS via the web, but it has a number of very neat features that, you know, can allow, you know, somewhat automated query as well. So maybe that's what Jeremy is referring to. I can only speculate what he's trying to say. So.
Yeah, Steve, is there a chance that we're going to have a call next week and we could address these when Jeremy's on the call?
We will have a call next week, and I will definitely send Jeremy emails to request him to be on the call.
I really think it's difficult to have a full discussion without the author of this being on the call.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I hate to put myself in a position to explain to mischaracterize others' work. So we'll have Jeremy on the call, and right now, we will not take his languages into the report.
This is Steve Metalis. Let me just suggest that since our deadline is November 15th, since we will have only one call between now and then in which to discuss this, I think we have to choose whether we will issue a an interim report on November 15th, or whether we will issue one without any final, without any proposed recommendations. Because this is the first time that we've discussed any findings or recommendations. The author of the proposed findings and recommendations isn't here. We will have at most one opportunity to do that.
I agree with you.
I just don't. I don't think we have time to do findings and recommendations by the November 15th deadline under this under these conditions.
Okay, that's a fair point. What do others think?
Hi, this is Owen. I agree with Steve.
This is Aubrey. I tend to agree.
Okay.
This is Bob Hutchinson. I agree.
Okay, so let's take out. For this situation, then, let's take out the findings and recommendations. And I think there's still value in putting the internal report out, because we'll get public comments and we'll get people, we'll get feedback from the community. So I see the benefits of having an internal report. So I would suggest we take out the findings and recommendations section.
This is Aubrey. I very much agree with you that there's value in putting out the report. And in fact, I mean, I think there's some, you know, very large bits of thinking that have gone into this and that we need comments on. And, you know, those comments will have a lot to say about what kinds of recommendations we're making. I mean, if we get back community comments that say, you know, models 2 through 4 are brain dead, go away, you know, then there's, I mean, I don't expect that, but that's, you know, that would change the thinking. So I think that, you know, maybe we need a couple lines that sort of say, while the group has started perhaps looking at some possible recommendations, you know, that work will continue once comments are in on the stuff that's here.
Right, right. Another way is in each of the points we have discussed, there were some like preliminary recommendations. We could also put those that have already been discussed into the recommendation section. But it's really up to the working group. Why don't we quickly go through the document. We have about 10 minutes left. I have pretty much take all your feedback into the document. So I apologize to send this late. I have a couple of last-minute edits that are in, so to wait a little bit. Where do we want to take from here? Do people have additional comments?
Well, this is Steve Metalitz.
Go ahead, Steve.
One comment I had, and I think this was in Bob's submission also, it doesn't seem as though the figure...
Yeah.
The last figure has been changed yet.
I believe the last figure.
Oh, you deleted the last figure.
I haven't got Andrew to make a new figure yet. So once that is made, I'll put that in.
Okay.
Thanks for reminding me. Any other comments?
I'll just say again, Steve Metalitz. Came in so late on Friday. I really haven't had a chance to go through this, but I think if we focus on this, what's here, as Aubrey has suggested, we say we don't have findings or recommendations yet. What do you think? then I think, you know, it may be doable to get our get this report done. But I guess I would need a little more time to look at what was circulated Friday night. Thanks.
Okay, that's fine. Have others had a chance to read the document? Yes, no? If not, then maybe we can discuss it next week.
Yes, Steve. This is Bob Hutchison again. Comments in page 19 on Model 3 and Model 4.
Okay.
I don't believe that I guess I don't believe that these models are really that costly to registrars, and I don't believe that a lot of the verbiage that is here on Model 3 and Model 4. And I don't believe we as a group have really voted on that or discussed it.
I think we have. I'm pretty sure we have. If you go back to the previous minutes and the email discussions, if you believe otherwise, we can put your, you know, whatever we want to say. We can say, you know, some of you members also, you know, have thoughts or doesn't say that it's costly. That's perfectly fine. But overall, I think the consensus, you know, this was discussed pretty long time ago, and that providing translation service is costly to registrars.
Yeah, I guess once again, the only translation that I believe is on the table is the translation of the labels, and the translation of the labels is a one-time thing, and it's not an expensive thing.
But then, you know, then you need to have like a staff to do that, right? Otherwise, how do you ensure the accuracy? I mean, that's where the cost is. Staffing is very expensive in any operation.
Yeah, but once again, here, this is, I believe, a function that IANA or ICANN should do. If we're talking about, we use the term standardize the labels. If we have a set of standardized labels and we translate those labels into a number of different scripts or languages, okay, that's a one-time cost per language, and I can't imagine that's not something that somebody will volunteer to do. It's not expensive for the registrar. It's just a set of tables.
Oh, but that's not what you're referring to, what Model 3 and 4 are referring to. Model 3 and 4 is translate and transliterate the registrant's name and contact information. It's not the label. The label, you know, it's a one-time cost, but translation and transliteration of each and single registration, although it's a one-time cost, but that's a lot of cost. And the registrars, we have someone to staff it.
Yeah, I guess I'm saying that we're having some confusion about what Model 3 and Model 4 are then.
Model 3 and Model 4 is translating or transliterating the contact information of a registrant that is registering the name. It's not about labels. You know, we have a uniform for all of these labels. It's then a harmonized label set. Okay, so...
Okay, yeah.
If you still have some additional thoughts, you can put some proposed languages, or you can just maybe tell us what you think, and then I can write it for you. You're given the time to read the internal report. If not, then we can discuss. Okay, any other thoughts?
No, this is Dave. I think it's been a productive call.
Go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry, Dave?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead. Do you have something to say?
I said I think this has been a productive call.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Didn't hear that very well. I apologize for the bad connection. Any other thoughts, comments?
Thank you, Steve, for chairing the call.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. Good update on the document.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to modify this. I'll check with Ayanna and Tina on the IDNs to see whether we have a table, and I will put a separate section harmonizing the labels, and that will modify a language in the models reinforced to change the registration data in any script accepted by the registrar. But those are the things that staff will take on. And we will have a call next week. And we will just take out the findings and recommendations section because we don't have time and we need to focus on this report. Did I capture the comments? All right. Well, thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.